Father, open our hearts to your Spirit now. Work in each of us. Speak the word that we need to hear. And mold us more into the image of your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, each day we are bombarded with all kinds of messages telling us who we are and what we should be doing. And perhaps there's no better place to see that than in the world of advertising. Watch TV, listen to radio, surf the net, and you will see that ours is a society about me. Me. It's a culture that says, go for it. And whatever you want, it's there for the taking. And so last year, Sprite reintroduced its advertising campaign, Obey Your Thirst. And athletes on Nike commercials still say, just do it. And why? Well, because of Allianz Insurance points out, because power is on your side. Or as Oriole insists, because you're worth it. Or perhaps Nescafe best captures the essence of our culture when it says it's all about you. So absorbed is our culture in us and humanity, and so it desires to empower us and to speak into our lives that Reebok Shoes even crowned humanity in 2005 with the name God gave himself in Exodus. I am what I am. Now, what a contrast between the messages that we constantly hear, and we're constantly hearing these messages, and the message that Jesus gave to his dinner partners that night. While the world says, lift yourself up, Jesus tells us to bring ourselves down. Now, why would Jesus have this kind of message for us? Well, I invite you to turn in your Bibles today to Luke chapter 14, the first 14 chapters, and we will discover why. Now, Jesus had been invited to a dinner that was given by one of the rulers of the Pharisees. Now, meals at this time were not just about eating, about stuffing yourself, but it was more about, well, enhancing your social position. Those invited were carefully chosen so that only those were there whose presence would either lift up your social standing or at least keep it the same. People of low position were therefore excluded. Before the meal began, the host would pre-select where each person was to sit, and those that sat closest to the host were those of greatest honor. Thus, people would begin jockeying for position the moment they had arrived because they were very aware of their status. Now, all of this may seem strange to us. I hope you guys don't have dinner parties like this. Maybe you do, but actually this sort of stuff does go on around the world. So I worked for an American company in China at one point, and the president of that company was Chinese. And in China, one of the ways that you demonstrate your loyalty is your willingness to drink with the host. Now, so on an evening, we had gathered around. It was at a conference, and all of us were there from the Chinese office. And immediately after dinner, as was the tradition, drinks came out. And I'm not talking about lemonade. These were shots. And every time the president gulped his down, we were supposed to do the same thing. And this would happen 10 to 20 times in an evening? Yeah. Now, I wasn't interested in playing this game. And so I was cowering in the corner with a few other people. But the president noticed that I wasn't participating. So on the very next night, we all gathered together and we were at a restaurant. And he had reserved two tables on different levels, and there were a wall separating the two tables. And as we walked into the door, the president assigned us to a table. And so those that had drunk with him the night before sat at the upper level table, and those who did not sat at the lower table. None of us who refused to drink were invited to the table. He wanted everyone to know our status had been lowered that day. Now, I don't know about you, but Jesus didn't care where he sat that night. His honor was not based on what people thought of him. And instead of currying favor with those that he'd gathered, which I'm sure were very prominent people, he used it as an opportunity to teach about the values of the kingdom of God by sharing a parable. Now, Jesus' message was a truly radical one for his listeners, just as it would be for us. You know, we're used to lifting ourselves up, often deriving our value from the praises of other people. And thus, we like to associate with those who seem to have more value than us. You know, I remember in the working world, the lengths that people would go to be noticed by their boss. You know, they would stay extra long just to be seen. They would devise problems and then miraculously come up with solutions at the last minute. And they were sure to be there to schmooze with the boss whenever a gathering arose, because they recognized that their value depended less on what they accomplished and more on how they were perceived. And that's how we so oftentimes live our lives, seeking the favor of others. Well, during Jesus' time, people were no different. They looked to other people for their value. In proposing the abolition of this time-honored tradition of rank seating, Jesus sought to overturn his society's definition of human value. His aim was to teach his dinner parties that status consciousness is inconsistent with the kingdom of God. Humility, that is the giving up of status and honor, is what God values in the kingdom. And that's because our value comes not from what people think of us, but from God. Psalm 139 paints a beautiful picture of the depth of God's knowledge of us. The psalmist writes, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it well." God made each one of us. He made us just as we are, and he's pleased with us. Each one of us is a masterpiece, an incredible creation, and no one can take that away, no matter what. You are of value to God. Roman Catholic Bishop Robert Monroe of Green Bay, Wisconsin wrote, "Humility is the habitual quality whereby we live in the truth of things, the truth that we are creatures and not the creator, the truth our life is a composite of good and evil, light and darkness, the truth that in our littleness we have been given extravagant dignity." Humility is saying the radical yes to the human condition. When we recognize our value is from God and not from others, we can humble ourselves without fear, because we know God loves us just as we are. And yet in our brokenness, we want to raise ourselves up. In the Garden of Eden, Satan said to Eve that if you eat the fruit, you will be like God. That was a lie. But Adam and Eve so desired it that they chose to eat from the fruit. People today continue to believe the lies of our enemy. You don't need God. You don't need Jesus. You can be your own God. It's all about you. And our society keeps bombarding that message, and people believe it. By eating the fruit, Adam and Eve thought that they were moving to a status equal to God's. But in reality, their deception led to their spiritual death and removal from the perfection of the garden. Here we find an example of an important spiritual principle that Jesus laid out for his guests that night. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Why does rising ourselves up lead to being cast down? When we lift ourselves up in our own eyes or in the eyes of others, we've handed over to another the power to be our judge or critic. And no one has that right. When we allow it, it's idolatry. And every idol will eventually come tumbling down. But the opposite is equally true. Jesus informed his guests that he who humbles himself will be exalted. You don't find a lot of people who are asking themselves the question, well, how can I be more humble? No, they're asking, how can I succeed? You know, how can I make it to the top? And in contrast, the book of James lays out for his readers the words in chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know, many people come to a point in their lives when they seem to have lost everything. Disease, injury, the loss of a job, a natural catastrophe, the death of a child, a broken marriage, or financial ruin could be the source of this. And at the time, they may feel humbled, but they're not necessarily the same as humbling the way Jesus described it. But these are nevertheless critical times. And if you're facing one of those, how you respond really matters. In Genesis chapter 4, God found Abel's sacrifice acceptable, but he rejected Cain's. Cain, as a result, was filled with rage and decided to kill his brother. But the Lord warned him with these words in Genesis chapter 4, 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at the door and it desires to have you. Cain had not learned that his value came from the Lord. Instead, he viewed the accepted sacrifice of Abel as a threat to his own value. And rather than humbling himself and heeding the voice of the Lord, he allowed his anger to rise up and he murdered his brother. He wasn't able to grasp that the source of his value, nor did he see the value in his brother. The story of Abel and Cain is instructive for us today. It reminds us of our instinct to lift ourselves up when we feel a loss of value. Responding in anger, taking revenge, claiming to be victims, wallowing in our sorrow, or mustering up our own resources.